John's Gospel, first of all in chapter 2. And we'll read down a few verses into chapter 3. But first of all, John's Gospel, chapter 2. And verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. When they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all, and needed not that any should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now in chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 50. Nicodemus said unto them, the same that came, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him? And know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Now lastly in chapter 19. And verse 38. Chapter 19. And verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and bound it in linen folds with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb wherein was never man yet laid. They laid there Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And that was. I'm sure I need not say to you, beloved, after reading these three passages of Scripture to you, that it has been laid on one's heart to speak a little concerning this remarkable man, Nicodemus. And the experience through which this man went, I merely said a remarkable man, I do not doubt he certainly was. And probably just a little descriptive of many more in this world, like Nicodemus, that have had to learn that in regard to the things of God, whatever their own thoughts were in relation to it, they can only be right when they listen to what the Lord himself has to say about it, and very wisely act upon it. At the end then of chapter 2, where we began, it's one of these feast days again of which we've been speaking this week. The Lord had come up to Jerusalem, and undoubtedly at that feast, as we can see, many believed on his name when they saw the miracles of which he did. I think some of us know that the word that John uses are really signs, not only acts of power, but acts that indicated certain things that people would but pause and consider just what this action meant, not only the action itself. That's the word really that John uses. But nevertheless, they were these manifestations of divine power. Obviously, above anything that was merely human. And as people heard these words and saw these miracles and this wonderful person, why they thought this man must be of God. But the striking thing we read about it is Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all. Now I ask you, beloved friend, tonight as we face a scripture like this, I wonder if we are all conscious that the Lord does look down. He doesn't always say what we are externally. You and I, you know, we can put on all the things externally to cover certain things at times. But let us remember in dealing with divine persons, there is a look right down in the one's heart as to what is there or what is not there. And I do not know that's why we have this statement about the Lord himself. I speak of this very feeling there because I remember a day when I was in a company like that. Why, I can never remember a day when I didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Never remember a day when I did not believe that all I read of him in the Gospels and these wonderful miracles that he certainly did perform them. We talked it at home and at the Sunday school and in the meeting. I say again, quite honestly, I never remember a day when I didn't believe that every word in this book was absolutely true. And I'm afraid, like many of those people at that feast, I believed all then, long before there was a work of God in my soul, that I stood in right relations with God himself. That's the bearing of this. The mere fact of it and assent to these things, that they are of God, never could put anyone yet right with God. No, a day had to dawn for me, and it must dawn for every one of us, when I not only believed this historical account, never doubted that Jesus was the Son of God, and I had to learn, if I was going to get the gain of all that he came to bring to mankind, I must very, very definitely turn away myself apart from any crowd and accept him as my own personal Lord and Savior. And that's what I think I can see running so clearly here, demonstrated for us in this remarkable man, Nicodemus, to show how when on the outside people may believe things historically, but let us be sure, dear friends, if we stand in right relation with God, there is a positive work that has been effected within our soul, and not only within our minds, if we can use that in believing certain details. The work done, thank God, as we'll see, a work that will abide, that once it sets us in right relation with God, we are in right relation with God forever. We know, I think, that in the New Translation, when chapter 3 comes along, it comes in with this but, yes, just a distinction. Here is a man a little distinct from the rest of that company. He'd obviously seen the miracles himself, so he told the Lord. He'd obviously heard some of these divine communications from the lips of the Lord. They didn't, shall we say, only reach that man's mind, they reached his conscience. There was a man that thought, if ever there was a man in this world right with God, it was he. Was a ruler of the Jews, that's what he was. A Pharisee, the straightest of all sects in this world. If ever a man was due to get to heaven on the ground of law-keeping and the Jewish religion, this was certainly the man. Why then did he come to Jesus? I mean, oh, don't we? He knew conscience told him there was something still lacking. Whatever he had believed or done externally, this man was not at ease in his conscience. He wasn't at ease in relation to the things of God. I'm certain it was because he knew that there was still something lacking, something that he needed, that brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I keep taking a remarkable man. While I would put myself in the company of chapter 2, I never was in this company that Nicodemus was in chapter 3. No, no, I'm afraid I never set about law-keeping and that sort of thing. The world had too big an appeal and a pull for me. While I didn't doubt the things there that were true, I wanted to get as far away from them as ever I could. No, no, I wasn't like Nicodemus in that way. A ruler of the Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, and the Pharisee, externally doing everything religiously he could, yet coming to Jesus by night. I understand his very name means Nico, champion, and Demos, the world, the champion of the world, as though we just want a picture of what the Lord can do for a man. He is the example. And as to a man like that, much less to a sinful, externally sinful man like me, that the Lord uses this remarkable language immediately to that man, you must be born again. In other words, as we quite understand this passage, what the Lord has simply said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, with all your efforts in Phariseeism, with all your law-keeping, your observance of the feasts, your attendance at the temple, even teaching other people, in spite of all that, there must be a work in your soul if ever you're going to be right with God at all. Oh, my dear friend, I hope we've all got the experience of that. You ask me when it happened with me, I just couldn't tell you that. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, we cannot tell. But one thing, thank God, I can tell you is that it has happened. I wonder if it's happened with you. To know as you sit there, yes, thank God, there is something in my soul. Something that's of God in my soul. I know not only externally in the belief of these things. I know in my soul there's a work being done, and I do stand, live with God himself, as the longing speaks of it, born again. I suppose speaking to that man here, he was again a Jew, and a descendant of Abraham. The best flesh that world could produce, And yet the very best flesh, when coming to the Lord, needed in this midnight encounter, this wonderful rebuke, well, I nearly said rebuke from the Lord, but it was certainly a correction from the Lord to go right to that man's soul, I believe. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why anybody could see miracles? Of course they could. Anybody can read the Bible that can read it all. Yes, the miracles are here. Yes, but to enter the kingdom of God is not merely what we can take in by our natural senses. It's only what has happened in our soul and what we can take in a spiritual way with the work of God himself and every one of our souls. I tell you, my dear friends, standing here tonight, if it wasn't the assurance of that work in one soul, I might have doubted long since that ever I would write with God at all. But thank God, once the work is there, and once the knowledge that we do belong to God is there, it abides, you see, something outside of the senses entirely in the spiritual realm, as the the Lord is about to tell him a completely new start and a completely new way, something spiritual, and I think I'm safe in saying heavenly, and thank God eternal, something that's going to abide forever, that we've done in the soul, that having put us right with God, it will abide there forever, and keep us in right relationship with God. Puzzled as this man was, and he did, he should not have been puzzled, for being a ruler of the Jews and the Pharisee, and a teacher of other people, he ought to have known from such places as Ezekiel, not the only one, but is very definitely there, that if ever a man was going to stand right with God, he should have known these things, and that's why the Lord has to say to him, art thou the teacher in Israel, and knowest not these things? He has to take the man up on that ground. And obviously, he didn't know. He was in the dark. Many more know the lion. Indeed, my dear friends, why say many more? It's true of every one of us who would get right with God, you know, that we're in the dark. It's been pointed out, and I think rightly, that when man is viewed as being dead, that's the worst state of all, he doesn't want God. But when a man is viewed as being in the dark, he doesn't know God. He says the light of God breaks into one soul, the knowledge of the light, the grace, the mercy of God, then for my salvation, when that light bursts into one soul, I know God. And the desire is immediately there, wants to be right with God. And the only possible way that can be is being born again. But the margin renders it in some of our Bibles, from above, some have put it from heaven. It is a word translated in two or three ways like that. But fundamentally, what the word does mean is this, a completely new beginning in the soul of man. Whether I'm up there in the religious scale like Nicodemus, as I said, I never was, or down here like the Roman soldier at the end of this chapter, more than that country, some of us were, yet from the highest to the least, so far as flesh is concerned, there must be this complete new work if one is to be right. How then is it going to be brought about? How does God work this out? There again in verse 5, as this man looking still for an explanation, Jesus answered, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why, to whatever nonsense we dare use that term about them that are before us here, is the cleansing operation of the Word of God in the living energy of the Spirit of God. Why, in the seventh chapter, the Lord uses terms almost similar to these. He spoke about those that should believe on him. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This baby of the Spirit. Terms almost the same that we have here. Living the communication of life, I believe, in a completely new way, and only can be communicated by the Word of God himself. So we want to be careful and not get into too many details in a meeting like this. But just as at the outset, in the beginning of Genesis, we hear a divine voice, God himself alone, saying, let there be light, and there was light. It needs a word from God just the same in the living energy of the Spirit in the soul of mankind. If there's going to be light and life in relation with God, and to be able not only to see, but to enter the kingdom of God. I think we've often explained in this room what is meant by the kingdom of God. It's the power of God put forth for the deliverance of his creature from every force that holds his soul in bondage, that being delivered and re-established in new divine power, he's able to serve God in the midst of a hostile world. My friend, is there anything else but God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God could ever impart that to the soul of man? Nothing else can do it, but thank God it can be done and has been done in the heart of every sinful, sincere believer that from the Lord Jesus Christ this work had been done. Truly, as of all that was said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Holy, what was prepared as this man was prepared. Mark you, I believe he was born of God and didn't know it. The very fact that he was attracted to this person, something was working in his soul, you see, the beginnings of this work, I will not doubt myself that work had begun. But he knew there was something else he needed and had brought him to the Savior. And we see, I will not doubt that we are permitted to get on, that this work began to increase and expand till it came out in manifestation. And while it says about them in the three passages we have read, it becomes an every time they came to Jesus by night. I'm going to suggest, my dear friend, that if it was in the midnight as it were here, the next time we see it is in the twilight, and I believe, thank God, the third time it's in the daylight. He doesn't care how long season. Attached to the Lord Jesus Christ and his affection for him, no longer a secret disciple coming out publicly now, identified with the man that was one of us to survive, and can we doubt from that moment on, living in this world, in his service. And I run on nearly to the end of my subject in saying that. Here he is beginning to emerge over that night, and the Lord is showing him that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Quite right, I suppose, simple for any one of us at least to accept. Marvel not then, says the Lord, I said unto thee, yea. He began with the man, as we say, the abstract, anyone. But now even Nicodemus, he might have said, well, yes, I know that crowd here and there, the tax gatherers and these people and sinners. Oh, Nicodemus, yes, they need to be born of God, of course, but you too, Nicodemus, ye, must be born again. Haven't we seen a little this week in our readings? That when I got privileges to move together in company, we must be there in our own individual exercise to get the gain of it. How much more than the blessing of God? Yes, thank God, ye, here, as I face this tonight, I must be born again. And I hope every one of us can face it too, and say, well, thank God I have been born again. There is a work in my soul. I know that I belong to God. Whatever else may have happened, I know I belong to him. And as that word goes on, step by step, bring him up into fruition, to realize indeed that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now just a word again, every believer. You ask me after the meeting how this happens. Well, yes, I think I can tell you how it happens, but if you ask me when it happens, I'm afraid, my dear friend, I can. And I couldn't tell you about myself, much less anyone else. And hence the Lord says to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell just where it begins or where it ends. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And while one wouldn't be too exercised just to know just exactly when or where it did begin, I hope, beloved, we all exercise as to whether it has begun in every one of our souls. You know as well as I do, we don't know where the wind comes from or where it goes, at least I don't. But you've seen the effect of it this last 2 days, it's as much as ever I have. We can see the thing happen, it's there. I believe when that word of God is in the soul, sooner or later, it is bound to come to light. And that word which is entirely of the Spirit, God the source of it, the Spirit and the word, the agent that God uses to bring it out. It's in simple gospel meanings like this, or as many other people may be reading the word for themselves, the Spirit of God has applied it in living energy to their soul. I told you this week about an old friend of mine in North Shields. A great help to me when I was converted, standing on the quarter deck of the ship in the Navy, repeating, God be merciful unto us miserable sinners. And just for the first time in his life, facing the fact that he was a miserable sinner. George, he said, or young George, was his name, young George Davis, is it Alan? John, he said, you've been a miserable sinner for a long time, whenever are you going to be a happy one? And he says, he never knew another word that was, and said on that corner day, or whatever the corner when the near day, never knew another word the man said, but he just turned his heart to the Lord and asked the Lord to take his sins away, and he never knew that from that moment he was right with the Lord. And if you'd known him when I knew him, you wouldn't have had any doubts either, as to whether that old man belonged to God. And that's how the work is done, how the work is done. How, when we may say, it's not a question of time for us to puzzle our minds. But I do hope with everyone exercise as we come to them, Nicodemus was very much exercised that night. Has it begun with me? Is there this in my soul that I know to be there? I know to be entirely of God. I never thought what a sinner I was before then. It's only now I begin to see the wrongs of these other things. How is it I never saw that before? It's the work of God in the soul, you see, that gives us the same what is right, in contrast to what is wrong. Spirit on the one hand, flesh on the other. But to have the consciousness, you see, of this work having been done, that not only enlightens us, opens the kingdom to our gaze, it opens its doors as it were to us, brings it in with form of water, and of the spirit, entering that kingdom, and finding in that kingdom, salvation. Now I turn on a little bit to the second reference to Nicodemus in chapter 7. In verse 50 of chapter 7, he's standing still in the company of these people, these Pharisees, or the rulers of the Jews like himself. Teachers of the law that never could put a man right. I never spent much time on that because it was a thing I never attempted in my life. I was taught differently, as I said, from almost my birth, not to depend upon any law teaching, whatever. But he was a company that had been brought up that way and thought it was right. While this work we are assured had taken place in the heart of Nicodemus, I suggested, you remember, he's coming out from the darkness now, midnight, if I venture to call it that, into twilight. As Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, what a sad thing for the moment to read of him, being one of them. Come, my friend, I ask you tonight, where are you in your associations in this world? Are you still one of them that has refused the Son of God? Or are you one of them that has accepted him? That's why I say it's not to read these words for the moment. He hadn't dissociated himself from these people, plotting his death, day by day, waiting in an excuse to apprehend him. And ultimately, of course, they got the privilege. Privilege, no, I take that back. But they got the opportunity of laying their hands upon him and destroying him as they were going to do. But Nicodemus is waking up a little bit by this time. He's beginning to feel that what he has in relation to this person is beginning to stand in contrast to this other company in which he's at the moment finding his life. Doth our Lord judge every man before it gave him and know what he giveth? Why do you think Nicodemus said that? I'll tell you why I'm sure of it, my dear friend. He was beginning, I believe. I nearly said it again the first time in his life. We preachers, you know, we get wound up and say some things that we missed as well that we not said. But at least at this point in his life, righteousness was beginning to take effect in his heart. He could see what was wrong in this quarter and what was right in that quarter. I do not doubt, you see, as the fruit of this work in his soul, he couldn't help but bring it out in manifestation that he didn't agree with this unrighteous course that they were pursuing. He agreed with the righteous men whom they were seeking to condemn. He's only for the moment in the twilight, but I wonder if it was episodes like this that ultimately gave him the demons to see. The sooner he quit company like that and came out in his true colours, the better it was going to be for him in the enjoyment of the blessing of God. But he does speak a word for the law, even in a company like that. All he got, of course, was a very scathing reply, all Palestinian at the times, and making a simple statement on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, it can bring forth the scathing replies from those to whom we make it. Does it not show how far man is from God, even Pharisees though they were, and shot this at him after Warsaw of Galilee, as much as they say, Nicodemus, you go and join the publicans and sinners. You and Pharisee, that's where you should be, that's the company you belong to, at the Warsaw of Galilee. Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. It shows how little they knew the word of God, because a prophet did write out of Galilee. I think that's what you have to find out, but they're interested enough. The very statement the man was not right. But any statement that applied to a man that was given a testimony on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do not doubt an instance that would be used of God to begin to resolve things in the heart of Nicodemus, that if he was going to go on with what he knew to be right, he was going to have to quit this company that he just as definitely knew was wrong. And probably this was the first, probably I said, the first move, because of what these people said, that began to show that man the sooner he quit this company and came out boldly in the light as a disciple of the Lord, the better it was going to be for him and his soul and his advancement in the things of God. But I leave this now for the moment. Nicodemus, I suggest, is in the twilight. One of theirs, that's what is said about him. But I want to say a word at the end, primarily before I'm done, in chapter 19. We need not press upon you what had happened, but this time the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And we wanted to read, of course, from the just a few preceding verses in this very gospel to find. It was the company that Nicodemus was upon in chapter 7 that primarily were responsible for his crucifixion. And I do not doubt, my dear friend, the one thing that is going to resolve where we stand in relation to God and our association with this evil world is going to be resolved around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, what the world thinks about him, and what I think about him, and where I know I ought to be as one who belongs to him in this world. Yes, he's coming out, as we said a little earlier, from the twilight, I believe, in the full daylight, now that the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. There was another one like him in verse 38. It says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. They ask him, my dear friend, is that what you are? A disciple of the Lord, secretly. Do you still move in company where you probably hear the Lord vilified and talked about? And think, well, of course, I know better than that. I'm just keeping your mouth closed. Never say that you belong to him. In fact, the very fact that you're in that company proves that you don't want to say that you belong to him, or you wouldn't be there. That's what Joseph of Arimathea, I nearly said, was. No, no, thank God, we've gotten over the point where he's not that any longer. He's no longer a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. Apparently, he very boldly goes to Pilate, now that they have crucified the Lord, goes to Pilate and begs his body. And then along with him comes this other man of whom we are speaking, Nicodemus. Again, as we've said, it's put down to his account, which at the first came to Jesus by night. I ask you, my dear friend, would you agree with me if I said that would be the last? What, being in the night? The last of being a secret disciple at the first. Yes, but he's not at the first by the time we reach chapter 19, is he? So far as our little record is concerned, he's come to the end of that. And if there's this secret disciple will step out, free from that company that's crucified him, this secret disciple will step out, Nicodemus too. And instead now of being one of them, we speak of just Joseph for the moment, there's only two of them, I know, but one of them. I identified with those that were identified with the Savior, if just for the moment only one is mentioned, Joseph of Arimathea. There were many more, as you know. Many of his disciples and Mary mentioned a little later in this gospel. But he changed that company for that company because he knew that he belonged to that company. And in the light of the fact that these very people with whom they had associated have crucified the Son of God, he very wisely quit that company. I think I'm safe in saying he was no longer one of them, he was one of these. Those who have turned now publicly to accept the Lord Jesus Christ manifestly as disciples of his, and to come out of this very needy time with this man begging the body of Jesus. Oh, the cross was what severed ties that had bound him here. I felt the twig of him, this brighter sphere, is our time for his singing again. And there was a very sorrowful moment, yet a very great opportunity for these two men to show how much they did value this wonderful person. I believe that both had accepted him and had this opportunity now of showing that they did belong to him, taking the body of Jesus and burying it. What a wonderful thing it is when at last we not only believe these things, pardon me running over this again as we close, I think I said what the Lord has put in my heart. I once belonged, as we've said, to that company, simply saw the miracles, never out of them, but never knew what it was to come myself to the Lord with a new goal, getting right with God. Yes, but thank God that moment dawned when one was conscious of a work, drew us to the Savior, gladly turned and go past him to accept us and to take our sins away. Ever turn to me, you, Lord, save me, turning back to him. And the result from that moment, knowing in this Lincoln one's soul that they belong to this man, that this world has crucified, Son of God, now in the glory, and the work that he came to do accomplish when he died upon Calvary's cross. Of course, I was in associations. We all have had some sort of association before the truth of God reaches us. But feeling there's something here that just isn't there, there came a moment when we felt we must quit these associations, and instead of being secret disciples, coming out boldly in the testimony, and all the blessedness of it that fills one's soul, and coming out in public identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knowing him as our own personal Savior. Someone was just saying to me this week, if people do this thing and that thing, does it mean that they no longer saved? Oh no. Once this work takes effect in our souls, it sets us right with God forever. What we have the blessedness and the privilege of doing is to allow that to control us apart from all that is in this evil world through which we are going. And what a privilege now in the little time we have left here, public disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him here, waiting for the comes. I know that if now we are in the kingdom, in its spiritual character, unseen to the eyes of men, we are drawn to that kingdom and its manifest character in the world to come. As belonging to this company, one of them, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, serving him until we see him face to face. I hope then every one of us know the experience of a work in our souls, not merely a mental asset to these divine things. And instead of moving through this world a sacred disciple, taking our stand in relation to him, and reaping the blessing which, thank God, we do reap in deliverance from all these other evil beings around the memory, enjoying the blessing of God, the salvation of while we are awaiting the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to take us to be forever with himself. I hope then that's true of every one.